see it up here, it tells you what we're going to do. We're going to look at the cross. There is the, get the buttons here, there's the cross. There's one right before me. And we're going to look at the cross. I've had this message in my heart for probably 3 years. And the pieces just all fell together within the last couple months. And we're going to take a look at the cross of Christ, the messages of the cross, to see how they affected people's lives. We're going to see how it affected the Irish people, how it affected a painter in Europe, how it affected people throughout the ages, and even has motivated a current movement that's led to these little white crosses like this, or the three crosses across America. The message of the cross is a very important message because it's our blessed hope. Our hope is in what took place there at Calvary. And that's what we're going to look at today. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this church, for the lighthouse that they have been to this community for 30 years, and for the legacy of the imprints that's made upon this church by pastors, by lay people, and how they've touched this community. I pray your blessings upon them, upon the ministries here, upon the congregation that is not here, but in their watching on their computer or their phone or whatever. And I pray your blessings upon them in the interim. And we pray that you'd bless this message to your glory. We pray this in your name. Amen. The power of the cross. The cross has power. And yet with that power, you know, some people think it's foolishness. You referred to that in a scripture we read today. The preaching of the cross to those that do not know Christ, it's foolishness. But we're going to take a look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19 communicates a silent message. And that silent message in Psalm 19 is this: the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they put forth their speech. Night after night, they display their knowledge. There is no speech, there's no language where the voice is not heard. The voice goes out into all the earth, and the words of to the ends of the world. And the heavens he has pitched as a tent for the it's like the bridegroom that comes out of the chamber. And this passage points out the fact that there's a silent message. I have seen the stars, I've seen a few planets, and I see the sun and the moon. I've never heard them speak, but they speak loud because of what they do. They rules the universe. The moon affects our tides, affects our weather, and the sun gives us light and gives us warmth. And that whole passage just goes on and on. And then we see there's a quote here by C.S. Lewis. When Christ died, he died for you individually, just as if you had been the only man or the only person in the world. That's the power of the cross. And yet the cross came about as a Roman thing. They crucified people for several hundred years. The Romans never crucified their own people, but they crucified those who weren't Romans. And it was a slow, painful, agonizing way of death. It was a statement to these people, you better not strike out around here, this might happen. And so they had this agonizing death, and that's where the concept of the cross came from. It was a narrow band in history when it was used as a form of execution. And it came about in the time of Christ, and when in Christ and his life, he came, John the Baptist introduced Jesus Christ in John 1:29, and he says, "Behold, there's the Lamb of God. He has come to take away the sin of the world." That's why Jesus came. He came to be that sacrificial lamb. And in that, he had to suffer. He had to die. And the Jewish people couldn't do this. They had the courts that wanted to get rid of him, but it was the Romans that had to execute the crime. And Pilate washed his hands and the whole deal, says, I find no fault in him. The people says, no way, we want to crucify him. He had to die, and he died because of our sin. That's why he died. And the cross of Christ changes everything. It changes people. The cross is symbolic of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. There are different types of crosses. A cross can do things. It can cause people to pray, be still and know that I'm God. It can cause people on the right to have faith. And in the center, we're going to focus on this. It actually has symbolic meaning. That's a cross that we saw in Ireland last summer. The Clone McNoise cross is at a monastery, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. And we're going to talk how the cross communicates nonverbal messages. And into the lower left, you see Christ on the cross. There was a time in my life when I would see a crucifix that the Catholic people often display displayed in the church. Seeing Christ on the cross was repulsive to me. And I actually got convicted about that. And I got convicted as to why he was on that cross. He's on that cross because of my sin. He's on that cross because he became the sacrificial Lamb of God. Yes, we celebrate that he's gone, but he was there for us. It was horrible. It was miserable. It was just despicable. And we see the message is there, the cross, and has resurrection power because Jesus did not stay on the cross. I once heard the story one time, the evangelist, that he was talking to a Buddhist. And the evangelist said to the Buddhist, Jesus came for his people. And the Buddhist says, Buddha came for his people. And the evangelist says, well, Jesus did a lot of good things for people. Well, Buddha did a lot of good things for his people. And then he said, Jesus died for his people. Buddha says, Buddha died for his people. And the evangelist says, Jesus rose up, and the Buddhist was silent. He says, he hasn't made it yet. And no, he hasn't, and he won't. You only rise up because of faith in God and Christ. That restores your life and gives you eternal life. Now, last summer, we had the privilege of going to Ireland. That's the only trip we took to Europe without kids or adults. Bonnie and I, we've been 12 times. She's about 14 or 15. We've taken 250 people to Europe. Well, we almost didn't bring them all back. There were about a half a dozen people on our trip to Greece. They were native Greeks, and they stayed in Greece to see their relatives. And then we had a teacher with us that she was a missionary at one time in Africa, and she had friends in England, so she got off the plane in England, went in to see them. And then we had a doctor with us, and he was Egyptian, but he had relatives up in Sweden. So he took off, and he went up to Sweden. But the rest of them we all brought back. But anyhow, we went to Ireland, and we saw this monastery. This is the Clone McNoise Monastery. It started in 500. And it lasted for about 600 years. There were about 1,500 to 2,000 people there at one time. And the cross was right here. There's a lovely, lovely setting. Over here is the River Shannon that runs from Dublin over to the Atlantic Ocean. And then there were little huts in here and places where people lived. And this is the scripture cross. And there's carvings here. They're Old Testament stories. There's actually 19 of these in Ireland. They're all different, but they all start out with a story from the bottom of the top. They all have on their select Old Testament stories, and select New Testament stories, but the New Testament stories always focus in on the life of Christ, the ministry of Christ, the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection and the coming of Christ. And it was a nonverbal way to speak. When you stop to think, this cross was made in 900. That's 1,100 years ago. And a lot of people didn't read. They didn't have books. And the only way they could communicate was through pictures. And when I first saw that cross last summer in Ireland, it really convinced me. I thought, wow, the gospel went out back then without a tract, without a book, without TV, without the internet, without anything. It went out because of these pictures that grip people's lives. There's 19 of them. And this one has chariots and riders, Joseph interpreting the butler's dream, and the three in that is relationship to the 3 days that were of Jesus being in the tomb. That was a connection of that. The butler with Pharaoh, Christ, Peter, Paul, and the Roman Catholic Church calls Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Peter, evangelists. They were the first evangelists. And Paul, they were the first evangelists. And then, of course, the disciples spread the gospel too. It has the last judgment and Christ in glory. And then on the other side, the resurrection, the two women at the tomb, Christ enters Jerusalem, the raised Christ, Christ at the tomb, the flogging and mocking of Christ, the seamless garment, and the crucifixion. So this is how the cross was communicated back then. Then the cross was communicated by a painting by Rembrandt. Rembrandt actually painted over 300 paintings that were biblically based. This particular painting was based upon Matthew 27, 46 to 54. And that's the basis. And Rembrandt spent 10 years refining this painting. And Bonnie has actually seen this painting. It's in Amsterdam. The two of us only been through the Amsterdam airport. She actually went to Amsterdam the first time she went to Europe. And the interesting thing about this, it has the Romans, it has Mary, and it has the other people below Christ, and there's light. And you notice the light is on Jesus and one thief. That light is the light of the world. And so that's the way to communicate them. You know, the Cleveland Museum of Art, I made a list. I got interested in art because of Bonnie. And because of that, I've come to really deeply value art and art museums. And I have 3 pages of lists of paintings and carvings that are in the Cleveland Art Museum that are biblically based. And they communicate a story. Again, non-verbally, but they can, and it was this the days they didn't have books. If they did have books, people didn't know how to read. Then came the printing press and all that changed. But we have here the Rembrandt painting. Now we have this passage that Rembrandt was motivated by. And from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness overcame the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when some of them standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge and filled it. And he filled it with wine vinegar and put it on the stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. So the rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom, which actually ended Judaism. Because he had direct intercession to heaven. You didn't have to go through the priest anymore. And the earth shook. Wow. And the rocks split. And the tombs broke open. And the bodies of many people who had died were raised to life. And they came out of the tombs. And, And after Jesus' resurrection, they went around in the city and appeared to many people. I thought, oh my goodness, that would have been a shocker. Really? I've been to a lot of cemeteries. I've never seen this happen. You know, and it will, but it hadn't happened yet. And when the centurion and those were with him, guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified, I guess, and exclaimed, "Surely, this was the Son of God." Many of them, the women, were watching a distance, and they had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. And among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Joseph, the mother of Zebedee's sons. This is the passage that motivated Rembrandt to do that painting. And that's a powerful, powerful painting. And then when Jesus was on the cross, we see him here on the cross. He's up here. And over here are the three crosses, and we're going to look at the three crosses later on. And he says, "Father, forgive them." Really? For all they've done to me? We have to realize what he's saying. They had spit on him, and they had mocked him. They had scourged him. They had whipped him. They had tried him unjustly. They did everything under the sun. And he says, what? "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And then he spoke to one of the two of the thieves, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Anyone could get saved. Anyone. I'll come to that in another one. Get another illustration, but not that now. And then he spoke to Mary. He says, "Dear woman, here's your son." That must have just broke her heart. That's her son. And you know, she had to go through a lot to carry him because she wasn't married. And a lot of people thought, what's going on with this girl, you know? But she went through a lot, and then they had to skedaddle to Egypt to save his life there for a couple years to get away from one of the Herods. And then he said, "I'm thirsty." And then he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You know why God forsook Jesus? God can't stand sin. And that's why we have Jesus. He took our sin. That's why he was on that cross. And then he says, finally, "It is finished." That is a double meaning. It was finished for his life, but it was the beginning. And that's the beginning for us of eternal life. Because he hadn't resurrected yet, but that was the next step. That was coming. And then he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." This is powerful. And the other story I wanted to tell you is about people. Anybody can get saved. I think one of the orneriest characters in the Bible reached in his pocket one day. God gave him a command to go east 500 miles. And he reached in his pocket to find money to go on a ship 2,500 miles the other direction. Finally, these heathen sailors on that ship got sick of him because of the storm, and they thought he was the trouble, and they threw him in the sea. And he ends up in the belly of the whale in the bottom of the sea, which is one of the most powerful prayers in the Bible, Jonah 2. And then the whale finally got sick of him and got rid of him. And finally, Jonah woke up and thought, you know, I guess I better go to Nineveh. Then he got to Nineveh, and Nineveh was a powerful city. It's one of the most powerful cities in the ancient world. Huge walls. Very, very, very powerful city. And he preached, and he ends up being more concerned about a gourd plant than the people. And yet, do you know what today in that country of Iraq? Nineveh is called Mosul, Mowsul. There's more believers within the circle of that city today than there are anywhere in Iraq. Why? If a weak-kneed preacher can do that, and God can have mercy on him, he can have mercy on anybody. That's the grace of God. All right. Then the cross has affected people's lives. Christianity is the Abrahamic non-theistic religion based upon the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. The adherents to Christianity are known as Christians. believing that Jesus is the Christ and the coming Messiah that's prophesied. And in the Hebrew Bible and the Old Testament, Christianity is described in the New Testament and has about 2.4 billion followers. In 1956, there were five missionaries were killed in the Ecuador rainforest. Now, Ecuador is quite a country. Quito is on the equator, but real high altitude and balanced temperatures. But then there's rainforest, and these missionaries were down there trying to reach the Aucas. And the missionaries had established an interactive relationship with the Aucas, who were known for their violence with their own people and with others. They killed all five of them. And two of the wives, the wife of Jim Elliott, Elizabeth Elliott, and the brother of Nate Saint, or the sister of Nate Saint, Rachel, they went back and they met. Now, that's forgiveness. They went back and ministered the Aucas, and you know they ended up actually giving up their violent ways. That's the power of the cross. And then Nate Saint's brother painted this. Oh, we want to go back. He painted that picture. And that picture is the bridge to heaven. Look at that. Here's earth. Here's heaven. Jesus said, I'm what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's the bridge to heaven. And in that same era, the Navigators Organization, it was in the 40s, 50s, the Navigators Organization, which was formed by Dawson Trotman, developed the track, Bridge to Life. And there you see the Bridge to Life. That's a hand version of it. That's actually how you can witness. You can witness over a coffee cup. Now, Bonnie and I met, actually, we met 50 years ago this spring. And we met learning how to use the four spiritual laws. And, you know, Bill Bright won a lot of people to Christ. And a man came up to Bill one day and he said, I think you have a method, Bill. What is it? And Bill says, oh, there's no method. He says, every case is different. So the man says, can I go with you? Bill says, yes. So he went and he followed Bill for a month. And he took notes. He saw many, many people led to Christ. And he met with Bill at the end of the month. And he, you know what he said to Bill? Step one, step two, step three, step four. And there came the four spiritual laws. And then Dawson Trotman came along and he needed a track. So Navigators came up with the Bridge to Life. And then that was the beginning of the upswing of the Billy Graham Association, and they came up with Peace with God. And so it, the cross impacted the tract ministries and ways to witness to people. And then the cross, another thing happened. You know, most people have never heard of Bernard Coffendaffer. How many have heard of Bernard Coffendaffer? I never did till I did the research. But I bet you probably have seen the three crosses somewhere across America. Coffendaffer was born in the 20s. He grew up in the middle of nowhere in West Virginia. And I can say nowhere because I know where it's at. My mother was born in that area. It's miles and miles and miles to anywhere. There's no straight road with anywhere. No straight quarter mile anywhere down that area. That's where he was born. Actually, his mother died, and he went in the World War II. Went in the Marines. He was in the Battle of Iwo Jima, and of all things, he got sent. I don't know how he ever survived. He was sent to Nagasaki after the bombing to do occupation. I thought it was a dangerous place to be with radiation. But anyhow, he went to Nagasaki. He went back to Virginia, West Virginia, went to college, had a very prosperous business. And at age 40, he got saved. When he got saved, he thought, I want to preach. So he went off to preach. And he started preaching, and then he thought, I want to do more than just preach. I want to become a missionary. And he believed the cross reminds people that Jesus was crucified on the cross, and at Calvary for our sins, and he will soon return. And he spent $3 million. Now, that was a lot of money back then. That was in the 40s. He spent $3 million and had these crosses across America. He's gone now, and now a person is raising up money to try to restore or replace those crosses. But that's a silent witness. Then, modern story has to do with this. This all started because of there was a problem up in Frankenmuth, Michigan. Somebody put one of these in their yard. And somebody says, uh-uh, you can't do that. And they raised a lot of ruckus. In the meantime, they did a little more research and they discovered the city of Frankenmuth had a cross in the city logo because of their Lutheran background of the people that formed Frankenmuth. Well, then people in Frankenmuth decided, we need to start making these. And then some guy out in Redding, California, he decided, we need to start making these. And we got people now distributing these crosses across America. It's a silent witness, but it tells. It wakes people up. What's the cross? What's it all about? It gets people to think and think about who's God, who's Jesus, what's it all about? And, you know, there's a lot of people that don't know who God really is. A lot of people don't know who what the Bible is. In fact, a lot of times, we don't let our fingers do the walking through the Bible. And whether it's a book, or now you got it online, you can listen to it. I listen to it on my phone. You can read it on your phone. There's really good websites for the Bible. But it's a way to communicate the gospel. The bottom line is this. You read it today. The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us who save is the power of God. And the cross, the message of the cross is foolishness to some, but to those who are saved it's the power of God. And I love this passage. Paul wrote to Titus, and he said this, at one time we were too foolish and disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy and being hated and hated one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, the Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous thing we've done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing, the rebirth, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously. Oh my, generously. Not just a little itsy-bitsy teeny-weeny. Generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, having been justified by his grace, that we may become heirs. That's a relationship, a family relationship, an eternal relationship with the family of God, and the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want to stress these things, that those you've trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves in doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. That's the power of the cross. Now, I became a counselor. In fact, I came to Ashland to get a counseling degree in pastoral counseling. When I first started counseling, I thought, I need to come up with a method to communicate the gospel to people. When I got to thinking, I don't want to preach to people. In fact, I had a couple come to me one time, and they were I was counseling in a church, but this couple came to me, and I asked them how they heard about me. And they looked at me and they said, they named a couple I had counseled. But they said, we don't go anywhere to church. I says, I'm not here to talk about where you go to church or don't go. I'm here to help you. And then I had a chance to talk to them about God and Christ. And then I had a person who kept coming back for counseling. And finally one day I thought, I need to talk to them about their faith. So I said, could you tell me, what does it mean to be a Christian? And they looked at me and they says, oh, you wrote some verses down for me one day. I went home. I read the verses. I got down on my knees and I accepted Jesus Christ. And I sat there and I thought, you mean somebody actually did what I said? I mean, I didn't tell them that. But that really got me to thinking. You know, I need a method. So I came up with what I call the love of God model. And what I the love of God model is I draw on a paper a triangle. And I say, what's this? And they, oh, that's a triangle. I says, okay, that's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then I draw a book. And I said, the book is the Bible. The Bible is God's word. The Bible is true. And it was written for us. Then I draw a cross. Oh, and then, you know, God, and I draw a cross. And then I start writing. And I put a G right here, and an O in the center, and a D. And we got God, okay? Then I write L above the O and V below the O and N and E, and I said, let's make it plural, and it's an S. God what? God loves. And then God so loved what? The world, and that's you and I. And if we confess, and then I say, if you believe in Christ and receive him, you become his child, then you learn about him through the Bible, and then you can talk to him in prayer. That's a free online connection to the Lord God of creation, no fees attached. No call waiting, no call number 99. No, we're closed now, or we're shut down, or blah, blah, blah. And it's not a one-way connection, but you're online with him. And you know, that's powerful. That's powerful. So you see, the cross can work in people's hearts and people's lives. And we've seen today that the cross impacted the people in Ireland, and it impacted Rembrandt, the painter, and numerous other painters that painted biblical scenes. It impacted Bill Bright to start the Campus Crusade now, and I can't remember their new name. What? Yeah, and they're located southeast of the Orlando airport. Southwest is Disney World, and or Disneyland, whatever it is, and then southeast is Campus Crusade of Orlando. I've seen it from the air when we took off out of Orlando. I saw the whole operation. I could see Disneyland on one side and the other, and Campus Crusade on the other. But I like looking out airplane windows. nevertheless, it changed navigators and Drossen Protman and the Bridge to Life. And then it impacted a lot of people's lives. Now, I like this passage. Jesus announced John the Baptist, Lamb of God, to come and take away the sin of the world. And I like the story of the man that was born blind. Jesus healed him. He had a rather unconventional method to heal him. I'm not sure an optometrist would approve of the method. But he healed this man of his sight. And then they interrogated him. And then they brought in his parents. They interrogated them. Finally, he said to them, the ones when they were interrogating him, he said, you want to become his disciples too? And then he found Jesus, and Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? He says, who is he, sir, to Jesus? And the man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have seen him? In fact, he's the one speaking to you. And the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And my favorite passage is the last two verses of John 20. Many other things were written that could have been written, but these were written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through believing you might have life through his name. Today, what would we have done? We looked at the cross of Christ, how it hex faith, it caused to pray, the messages of the cross reaching the missionaries, changing their lives, reaching the crosses across America, and it's a foolishness to those that don't understand it, but it has resurrection power, and the cross changes everything. Let's pray. Lord, may we allow the cross not only to change us, but to cause us to be more conscious of witnessing of our faith. And we pray for the impact that these white crosses are making across America, for the impact that the three crosses across America has done, for the message of the gospel that goes out even from this church and churches throughout the land that preaches the truth. And we pray that you would just help us to be that salt and light today. give us victory in the name of Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.